wake up playing GameCube. Whatever game we playing, man, I can't lose. Can't choose what game system to use. Like saying who better, Ken or Ryu. You love BGs, oh yeah, girl, me too. We can watch anime all day and skip school. Young legend, rap taking to a new level. New medals for young kings who don't settle. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-ball. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. I'm the otaku king of hip hop. Y'all couldn't pull up on me at a pit stop. Got the Sonic ring, middle with my wristwatch. Here, make the ring noise every time it tick tock. It's Young Bag, not Jenny from the block. Gotta tell me when to start, I don't know when to stop. Pull up to the scene like my name, RoboCop. Legendary Baker Styles T, it's a bop. PS1, yeah, bought it for the fun, yeah. 6-4, yeah, you don't even know, yeah. Game Boy SP on the flow, yeah. Room full of anime scrolls, one more, yeah. If she not an otaku, we cannot vibe. We so retro, we play the Wii outside. I cannot hear ya, that's a far cry. BG anime retro life. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Urs Mac, the mad scientist.
And it's your boy Thanos Rick. What is going on this beautiful Thursday?
What's happening, man? No, it's Thursday, man. Fresh off the heels of Loki episode 5. And man, what a show that was. Before we get into that, what's going on with you, Thanos Rick? What's going on in Thanos Rick's world?
Nothing, man. Just staying busy and being active. You know, it's been a crazy busy week.
You know, I'm not sure about you, but on my end, you know, the meetings and all these reports on the gaming world, geekdom, trying to stay current with that. It's a whole bunch of stuff, man.
Whole bunch of stuff, man. Yo, what's up? What's going on? Assassin B, Pat Venny, Neos38, Mara Nader. What's going on? I know, man, Assassin B says it's been so long, man, but he's back. We here. That's right. We are here, man. Shout out to the listeners out there. Oh, man. So, yeah, you're right, man. A lot of news out here, a lot of video game stuff out here. And, of course, you know, Fear Street Part 2, I think it's out now, if I'm not mistaken. I think IGN did a review on it, but, you know, they get access to stuff before we do. Maybe like, you know, before the public audience does. So, I mean, I'm going to check and see the Netflix, you know, out here and see if we actually have it. I know what we do have. We do have Resident Evil, Infinite Darkness. We do have that, bro. Please tell me you're going to watch that, because I am.
I'll check it out.
There's also a new Netflix show, a movie called Major Brown Plague Doctor. I'm definitely going to watch that as well. I don't see Fear Street Part 2 yet. I don't see that. And it might be somewhere in hiding because, of course, you know, Netflix usually goes by your watch history and what you are interested in. So it seems as though Part 2 is not here yet. I think it's supposed to come out maybe tomorrow around that ballpark. So
I think it is tomorrow.
Yeah. So we'll see, man. I can barely hear you. Thanos Rick. You there?
I'm here, man. I'm here.
I mean, you know, this, I'm thinking about this Comic-Con, man. I've been really thinking about that. Because, you know, I've been wanting to go to Comic-Con in San Diego for a long time.
Facts.
But the news I just shared with you offline, I don't know, kind of has me a little bothered.
Well, how about this? Share it with the public here. What news that you got?
Well, of course, for those who don't know, San Diego Comic-Con, since the pandemic started, they have gone to a strictly online event. But since the pandemic seems to be ending, we're starting to move slowly back into in-person. Come to find out, Marvel and DC have backed out again. Not the first time. I think Marvel backed out the first time back in 2018. I think DC around the same time. But now you're starting to see the big leaguers, the major players backing out of Comic-Con. And of course, for those who don't know, Comic-Con, that's where Marvel, DC, whomever, they go and they present their newest, latest, and greatest. But since DC started their own type of, I guess, presentation with DC Fandom, and of course, Marvel presents their new stuff now at the Disney D23 or the investor calls that they have with the Disney stakeholders, Disney and DC, or Marvel and DC, I should say, they've been kind of releasing their new stuff through those avenues versus the Comic-Cons. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, then San Diego Comic-Con might be dead in the water. Maybe not. Maybe this will be a chance for, you know, maybe the small players to kind of come in and present their stuff. Maybe in Netflix. Because Netflix, they're now showing superhero action, right, you know, on their platform. Hulu, maybe even Apple TV. So this might be an opportunity for the small leaguers to come in and showcase their stuff, if they're allowed to do that. I'm not entirely sure. But the way it's trending now, Marvel and DC, they are not going to release their new stuff through the Comic-Cons anymore, by the looks of it. I'm not saying that's fact, but that's kind of how it's heading into, because they keep backing out.
Looking into this, I feel like Marvel doesn't really need to go to San Diego Comic-Con, to be honest. I mean, I think it costs more money to actually go to these cons or whatever and showcase what you're going to do. Now, that's not to say they're never going to do it again, but I can understand why they would. So now, I wouldn't say San Diego Comic-Con is dead in the water, because San Diego Comic-Con has been around for some years. And because of its popularity, that is the reason why Disney and the MCU actually shows up at this con, because it is the biggest. You know, I feel like it was the biggest before the MCU blew up the way it did, and DC. I think with those two companies, it was icing on the cake. So will it make Comic-Con visits more feasible? I believe so. But as far as being dead or what, I don't think it would be dead or what. Because there's a lot of things that's going on, especially Image. Like, you can go to Image Comics. Image Comics can really take full advantage of this and showcase whatever comics that they have press conferences and stuff like that. I know my boy Chuck and Sanford Green, they got, the name escapes right now, Bitterroot. They have Bitterroot, Regina King. So that can be really the avenue right there. San Diego Comic-Con, the shows that Image has, you know, like The Walking Dead, because a lot of people don't realize that Walking Dead is an Image comic. It was a comic book first. But a lot of people watch The Walking Dead, you know, for the TV and stuff like that. But, I mean, all is not lost. But it's not surprising, especially that San Diego is virtual still. And of course, as big as that con is, Thanos, I understand why they want to still make it virtual. I think they want to be open when it's at 100% full capacity. That way you get everything you want and more. That makes sense?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, like you said, the travel, getting the actors, actresses to get there. I mean, all of this takes time and money, you know, to cut costs. I mean, I wouldn't blame them if they did back off because, you know, DC, Marvel, they're playing with house money. They don't have to go to the comic con. They can just build their own stuff and still, I mean, the excitement won't die off. People will still get excited with trailers and whatever else. It's just won't have that in-person fan experience.
Right, right.
That's the big thing. The crowd, people get excited, you know, crying for joy and all that other, you know, whatever. That, I don't know. I don't know. This might be the trend here. Might be the trend. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past DC and Marvel because, again, they have their own presentation platforms. DC Fandom and D23. And the investor calls. So,
yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. And since we're on the Marvel subject, now Kevin Feige says Marvel is done with massive multi-movie deals. Now, some of you may not know that Samuel L. Jackson once signed a 9-movie deal with the studio. As you know, it wasn't like a let's renegotiate your contract, let's look at it again. No, he signed a 9 multi-movie deal. So so according to IGN, during a recent interview with Hollywood Reporter, Feige explained that Marvel is moving away from massive multi-movie deals it once offered to its stars. Instead, he hinted that the talent will stay on board and return for additional projects if they're enthusiastic for their universe they become a part of without needing an expansive contract. Now, it varies project to project. And from what it says, now Feige explained, reflecting on the sweeping talent deals previously inked by the likes of Chris Evans and Samuel Jackson, really what we want are people that come in are excited to be in the universe, are excited at the opportunity to do more things, as opposed to being locked into a contractual obligation. Scarlett Johansson has returned to MCU to headline her own movie, starring Natasha Romanoff in Marvel Phase 4's Black Widow, set simultaneously debut in theaters and on Disney Plus, which I am not paying $30 for that. I'm going to movies. With premiere access July 9th. Now, she's joined by the host of MCU newcomers, Florence Pugh, David Harper, and Rachel Weisz. Now, Pugh is playing Natasha's sister, Yelena, in her much-awaited superhero debut. The actress previously spoke about her prospective future in the MCU and whether she could step forward to headline a potential Black Widow sequel. Given that her character will be retroactively set up as the new Black Widow when the movie premieres. Now, if you get asked to be in a Marvel film and it was so thrilling and fun, exciting to be in, then of course, your head goes, oh my God, if this what it's like, then what else is next? So basically, it's leaving it up to the actors. So you're not locked into a contract. Basically, what he's saying is, you're going to be in the movie if you want to be in the movie. And that's all fair. What you think?
So whether it be a new Black Widow, is that what you said? I think I heard you said that. Would it be a new Black Widow?
There is a possibility. There's definitely a possibility. I have, you know, none of us have seen the movie yet, but it seems as though this is where it's going.
Yeah, because Scarlett Johansson mentioned that she's done with it. I mean, she's been playing Black Widow since, what, 2010? Iron Man 2, so, you know, her words, she feels as though she's played the role to its fullest and she's ready to move on. So now, contrary to what I've heard from the Marvel executives, they're willing to work with Scarlett Johansson in the future on future projects. So you have two sides here kind of, you know, not seeing eye to eye, I guess, but not in a bad way. But however, if they bring in a new Black Widow, then okay, I'm all for it. Now, how would you do it? That's my next question. How would you do it? As far as you know, actors not signing on multi deal, I mean, I don't really know what that means. Is he saying that people aren't excited because of the contract obligations, or like I'm not sure what that really means? Because I think that people would be happy. Number one, because, you know, they're getting paid a lot of money. And number two, and this is no disrespect to the actors, but what else do they have going on, like project-wise?
Right. I think what it is that it's not forced fun. It's voluntary fun. That's what that means. Because there may be other projects you want to do, you want to look at, and like, let me do this one-off movie, but you can't do it because you're filming a Marvel film. Like, it could be movies that, I mean, there's movies that we always look at and say, you know what, this actor will play a better role if he was in this movie, or she was in this movie.
Well,
and go ahead.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, E, but those other movie roles didn't pan out too well. I mean, case in point, Dr. Doolittle, that flop. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, he had what? A Netflix movie and some other stuff. Those didn't do very well either. So
Netflix, Red Dawn. It was a horror movie where he smacked into the wall on his motorbike. Man, that was funny.
I mean, I'm not saying these guys can't do other roles, but it's to a point now to where these actors can't really do anything else unless you're Samuel L. Jackson. But the thing about Sam Jackson, he's been doing movies since the 80s, the 90s, so he's already established already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Sam can get other roles, but, you know, I'm not sure about the others. So I'm like, you might as well just stay where you're at, make the money, people love you, just keep it going.
True. I mean, but as an actor, you don't want to be typecasted. Because you know it's going to come to an end. I mean, yeah, the money is cool. The money is great. It's Disney checks.
Too late.
I'm just saying. Like, the Disney checks, man, don't bounce. I know that. A prime example. Here's an example. The second Independence Day, right, didn't have Will Smith in it. Mainly because Will Smith was working on another project. He was contractually obligated with another project. So he couldn't be in the second movie. Like, that, I'm going to use that for an example. Even though he's not Marvel. But there are other movies that can be a breakout movie. Not all movies are going to be good. You ought to know by principle that MCU movies are destined for greatness. Like, they already are winning before the movie even comes out. They're only going to give it a bad review if the movie, like, completely and utter trash. Like, I wasn't a big fan of Thor Dark World, the second Thor movie. So, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. So, I mean, I liked it, but it was my least favorite. It was my least favorite. But I like Chris Hemsworth as the actor. And I think that's why they went into a different direction with Thor Ragnarok. You catch what I'm saying? So, I mean, as an actor, you don't be like, I wouldn't say in jail, because I don't think any actor is actually complaining about the multi-movie deal or anything like that. I don't think any of them are complaining. I think Kevin Feige had the foresight, because he knows what direction the MCU is going, that he wants people that want to be there.
Yeah, but
I think that's where he's going.
Yeah, but what does that mean? You make it seem like they don't want to be there. Like well, that's how that comes off. That's how it comes off to me. Like, people don't, like, they're unhappy with the contract, so they don't want to be there. That's how it comes off.
Right. You know what I mean? So, how can I put this? So, Batista wants to do other movies. And there's rumors circling around all over the place that, you know, after Volume 3, there's no more Drax. You know, he won't play Drax anymore. You know what I'm saying? But that's his prerogative. That's his choice. I mean, there's some movies that he's been in was actually pretty good. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's really the actor's prerogative. Honestly, if you sign a contract for a movie, obviously you contractual obligated to that movie. You know what I'm saying? And Assassin B said Gears of War movie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Batista's doing Gears of War. Like, he doing that. So, and Pat Venner says, people get tired of playing a role. Yeah, people get tired of playing a role. Like, for us, it's fun to see them on screen. But for the actor to sit in a chair for freaking 10 hours to get makeup, and then you do another 12 to do certain scenes, and you're doing this for multiple years or whatever the case would be, that can be exhausting to an actor. That can be.
Hey man, as long as that paycheck keeps rising, I wouldn't complain. That's me though.
True, but it's not always about the paycheck though. It's not always about the paycheck.
But I know Robert Downey Jr. was getting, what, $50 million per movie?
give or take, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But he didn't have makeup though. He had pseudo armor, but he didn't have to wear any makeup. I mean, yeah, he got to have makeup for the lighting, but not like sitting in a chair for 10 hours. He just put on a suit.
Thank you, Mills. Thank you, Mills 38. Hugh Jackman played Wolverine for 20 years. Thank you. Thank you.
20 years. And he played it for 20 years, but how many of those movies suck? How many other standalone movies suck? Two of them. Well, and it took one to make it. It took one to make it great. Like, well, he, The Wolverine, he, trash.
Well, he,
Wolverine,
well, he kept it up.
X-Men Origins, trash.
Well, he kept it up. And I'm hearing he may come back as Wolverine with Kevin Feige. In a cameo.
As a cameo.
Hey, you don't know that. You don't know that.
That was the rumor. Per articles, it said, you know, possibly as a cameo.
Hey, man. Could be more. Because Hugh Jackman is solidified Wolverine in the movies. I don't think anybody would want to see a new Wolverine. I don't think anybody would.
True that. But a true Wolverine, though, comic book Wolverine, is 5'3". He's not over 6 feet.
It don't matter, E. I'm just saying.
So if you find a Wolverine that is more comic centric, I don't think people will complain, honestly, especially for the purists out there. I don't think. Because think about it. There's more actors out there that people realize that if you say, dang, I don't really think they can pull this thing off, and then you see them in a trailer or something, you're like, damn, I was 100% wrong. Because we are, in essence, we are purists. Like, we are used to seeing a certain things a certain way. And sometimes we don't like change. And then when we see that change, we automatically throw stones at it until we actually see this person in action. So,
yeah, but I think it's not that easy. I mean, honestly, who can play Tony Stark than Robert Downey Jr.? Who can we find as a better Loki than Tom Hiddleston?
Oh, matter of fact, okay, here's another fact. Tom Hiddleston was supposed to be the OG Thor. He was supposed to be the original Thor. He wasn't supposed to be Loki in the beginning. And on top of that, people shitted on the fact that Robert Downey Jr. was going to play Tony Stark until he played the role. Until that first movie came out. But see, that's proving my point, though. Like, when they first picked him, people shitted on the idea until they saw the movie. Same difference with these actors that you may not know about. People are going to shit on it, but when they do the movie and act on it, okay, I changed my mind. So that's what I'll say. Just as sure that we gave Hemsworth, you know, Downey Jr. a chance to play these roles, we have to do the same for the other actors out there.
But the only difference is, though, we haven't seen those roles on screen before. Not really.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm curious to see how Blade turns out because, of course, that's Wesley Snipes. But with Mahershala Ali, I think he'll, you know, he'll pull it off. Now, will it be as effective as Wesley, how he did it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think like you said, you're right. We get used to people being in certain roles, but then we have to ask ourselves, well, hell, who can we find as a replacement to fill these shoes? Because Robert Downey Jr., Tom Hiddleston, Wesley Snipes, Hugh Jackman, you know what I'm saying? Like, who can fill those shoes? Because they left such a big mark on the character, on the role. Can't just get anybody. You can't do that.
Yeah, and I agree with Assassin B. I think Ali is definitely going to kill it. I think he's going to kill it, especially Wesley gave it his blessing. And Mills is right. Downey did have a rough track record before the MCU picked him up. And Hiddleston would have been a trash Thor. I seen the screenplay where he actually held the Thor hammer and he was, you know, screaming. I mean, they would have dyed it. That was a screenplay, though. And that's before his hair would have been dyed and all that other stuff. So there's that. Then they switched it up to something else. But, I mean, obviously he plays Loki, and Loki is awesome. And Mio Sardis said he does like Gator Loki. Actually, Gator Loki is pretty funny without even saying anything, without even having lines. I feel like it would have been a little bit funny if he did have lines. But since we're on the Loki subject, Thanos Rick, how about that freaking Loki episode 5, my man? How about that? How about this. What's your thoughts on that, bro?
There's one more episode after this one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Episode five was dope. I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to end it, because I still feel like this could go on for like maybe five more episodes. So the fact that it's six, it kind of worries me how they're going to finish it off. Because episode five, it wasn't really enough for me to be like, okay, the next one, the last one, is going to be, you know, whatever. Like, I still feel like we need to be more. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. But you know what? Hold on for a second. Let's have a moment of silence for the classic Loki, because he went out like a G.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We good, man. Listen, classic Loki, man, went out like a freaking G, cuz. But that's comic book Loki. You know what I'm saying? But I think what you're saying, Thanos Rig, is that they did that on purpose, because they gave us a cliffhanger last week. They ain't gonna do it 2 weeks in a row. And I like the fact how they ended it, because now you can't speculate as far as what's going on. And then I don't think it gave any hints or clues as far as who is behind all of this. You just know that Loki and Sylvie are official now, I feel. And I was happy about that, because all you saw was fast character development between Loki and Sylvie, especially Loki, because the whole premise behind the whole character base is that he was destined to fail. Like, he was destined to die. He's not meant to be happy or any of those things. And in episode five, you see a glimpse of him actually being happy. You see the barriers being broken down, because he was genuinely worried about Sylvie. Like, he was talking about Sylvie in a positive way. And he was saying, telling Sylvie, like, look, I used to be this, I used to do this, and I didn't have that many friends, and I understand why I was like that. You know, not making any excuses for it, but I'm not like that now. And you can trust me, and I'm going to stay with you. But Sylvie taught him how to enchant. So, now hold on for a minute. Can we talk about the Thanos helicopter, please? Can we talk about that? Because I am thoroughly excited. Let me tell you something. I almost jumped out of my seat when I saw the Thanos helicopter. Thank you, Kevin Feige. Thank you.
Okay, I guess.
What? What, Thanos Rick? The Thanos helicopter. Don't tell me you ain't seen it.
I saw it, but I was like, man, okay. I'm not into the comics, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know.
What you mean you don't know? That's the void. That's where everything goes.
I know, but I was like, just in the helicopter, I was like, okay, well, there it is.
There it is. The freaking Thanos helicopter. Okay, if you got classic Loki in the classic Loki comic book uniform, why not have the Thanos helicopter?
I get it. I just wasn't moved like you were, E. Like, oh, there's a helicopter. Okay. Can we get back to the destruction now? Thank you.
Okay.
But I agree with you. OG Loki went out like the G. He conjured up Asgard. The whole freaking city of Asgard. He conjured it up as a hologram or whatever. It was dope.
Yeah.
That was dope. You know what I'm saying? So it goes to show you that Loki's powers really have no limits. No limits at all. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm curious to see how the evolution of Loki continues from this point. After this show was over, I want to see how his character continues on, how he evolves.
Check that nod to... did you see Thor's hammer in episode 5? Because I've seen it.
I did, actually. I saw it.
Now, who was that in that bottle? Was that Thor, like, going after the hammer, or was that another Loki?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy, though. I mean, but check out the nod it did to Thor, though. It's like when classic Loki was talking about the daggers. He was like, man, that's holding back what we can do. you remember in Thor Ragnarok where, you know, Thor was talking about his hammer and Odin told him, say, man, no, that's keeping your powers at a certain grade. But without a hammer, you're stronger. That type thing. So that was kind of like a nod to Thor, in my opinion, because it's saying like, bro, you got all these daggers, but honestly, you capable of so much more stuff. And when you saw Classic Loki summon entire city of Asgard, the entire city, and not only conjured it up, but rebuilt certain buildings as it was getting destroyed, like projection wise. And Loki, you know, said, you know, we're stronger than we realize. It's like he took notice of that. It's like he realized he's capable of so much more. And Sylvie is telling him, look, man, you're capable of enchantment too. So the Loki that we got has confidence and he's cocky, but he doesn't have full 100% full confidence in his abilities. Because for a period, he wanted that hammer. But not so much.
I mean, again, I want to see how the character evolves from this point. It's like you said, you know, there have been references about how, you know, you don't need this, you don't need that. You're stronger than, like you said, stronger than what, what you think you are. And mm-hmm. we've seen that. Everything that those other Lokis did, our Loki, the Loki we know, Tom Hiddleston, can do the same thing. And I think, you know, he knows that. He knows that. It's just he has to tap into it, you know, so... I thought it was dope. Now the other Lokis, who was the leader of the Loki army? The other Tom Hiddleston, who had the voting pin on his blazer or whatever.
That is another Loki from another universe, and that's actually is a comic because he actually had a front page cover because he was actually trying to run for president. That was President Loki.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to the U.S. and he was running for president. Now, I haven't read the storyline, but I know of that storyline. And there is a President Loki storyline.
Okay. I figured you would know.
Yeah, man. I mean, I do like that aspect of it. And you kind of see Loki to the side. Like our Loki to the side, like looking at the betrayal and the stuff that's going on. And it's like, man, we done this before. Why are we doing this? And all it did was left us with more questions. It planted some Easter eggs for us, but it definitely left us with more questions than answers. And I feel like episode 6 will answer a great majority of those questions. And hopefully we will get a second season of Loki. And here's my theory though. My theory to this is that it's one of two things. Either Loki and Sylvie, they handle what they need to handle and they go away together. Or this Loki does what the classic Loki did. Like, he goes back, get arrested, he goes through his timeline. He knows what's in his head, what has transpired, and he's not losing that. So by the time Thanos shows up, He can pull out an astral projection of himself, and then he can kind of like live the rest of his days doing whatever he's going to do. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like once he knows his destiny, he can change it and do what he wants to do. And we'll see, man. I feel like there's a lot of Easter eggs that's going to show up in episode 6, like a lot of like a guest appearance or something. Maybe Chris Hemsworth.
Well, we already had Lady Sif guest star in the show already, so I'm not sure about Chris Hemsworth. That might be a stretch, but it'll be dope to see. It'll be dope to see. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll see some guys from the Dark World, your favorite movie.
Oh, Malachi. Malachi. Oh, man. Let's hope not. Let's hope not. Oh, my gosh, man. But, hey, episode 5 was phenomenal. All these Loki episodes was actually really, really good. A good chunk of action, a lot of dialogue, a lot of Easter eggs.
How'd you feel about Mobius?
coming best in that one.
I knew he was going to be in that vortex. Now, Mobius is going back to the TVA, right? He said he's going back to burn it down.
He's going to go back and do what he has to do. Now, I'm not sure what that really means and how he's going to do it because he is severely outnumbered. So,
yes.
We'll see how far he gets with that. But, you know, I thought it was touching him and Loki. Loki, you know, Mobius tried to shake his hand and Loki was like, nah, man. He hugged him. You know, that was dope. That was dope.
Yeah.
Loki called him a friend. So.
Call him a friend, man. See, character development, man. That makes it so much better. Much better.
The one thing DC can't seem to do. But I digress.
Was that shade?
No, never. Never.
Oh my gosh. Man, I'll just say, look, man. You're absolutely positively correct. And that is why Vegeta will always be better than Goku, because of his character development. Stop. Moving on.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait.
What?
You ain't gonna just move on from that and just no.
What? Oh, FYI, Thanos Rick, just to let you know, I have been reading the manga lately, and Vegeta and Goku are still training. Goku is training to perfect his Ultra Instinct, and Beerus is actually training Vegeta to in his destruction power because he has ability to be a god of destruction because he beaten a god of destruction in the tournament of power. So they also kind of like throw hints and clues that maybe like just a Hakai. That's it. There was a slight hint that maybe angels are not that much stronger than Beerus, because I think Beerus is the strongest god of destruction, because I think his potential is different than all the others, or whatever the case may be. So he's actually in a lackadaisical way, he is training Vegeta. Now Vegeta also has the ability to instant transmission. He also has the ability to fission, which he can unfuse people, like he can split them if he really wants to. He doesn't do instant transmission because he doesn't like it. But whatever the case may be. Now, there is a character that wished to be the strongest in the universe, but the dragon warned him that, hey, just because you're the strongest now doesn't mean you're going to forever be the strongest. There's always going to be someone that's going to train and probably be stronger than you. He said that, but this is the dragon that only had 2 Dragon Balls, so you only had to collect 2, and that's it. I forgot the character's name, but Vegeta and Goku went to go see about this guy, and Vegeta told Goku to go first, and Goku went first, and he got his ass whipped with Ultra Instinct, and this guy actually has an axe to grind with Frieza and with the Saiyans. This is a classic thing, you know. The Saiyans came to destroy this planet. He's one of the last survivors. He's like a sniper, and so he knows your vital points all over your body. He can see it, and he wished to be the strongest in the universe, so he can still tag him pretty good. So, you know, he beat Goku, basically. And now Vegeta is up against, I think, Granola. That's his name, Granola, which is such a weird name. But anyway, now Vegeta is up against him, and we're going to see what happens from there. Vegeta might watch this, man.
E, listen, at the end of the day, Goku will always be stronger than Vegeta. Goku will always beat Vegeta. It doesn't matter.
Whoa. Hold on. Actually, Goku never beat Vegeta. He never beat Vegeta 1-on-1.
Goku will always be better than Vegeta. I know you love Vegeta.
He never beat Vegeta 1-on-1.
Vegeta will never be better than Goku. You know that. I know that. The whole world knows that.
Let's look at the tape.
Vegeta's number 2. He's 2.
Let's look at the tape now. When Goku fought Vegeta the first time, what happened? Vegeta transformed, crushed his legs. Who showed up to help him out? Krillin and Gohan at that point. Who gave who the spirit ball?
Stop it.
The spirit
stop
bomb. It. Goku stop gave it. You. Is it fact? Stop is it not fact?
You are,
Thanos
you are,
is it
you are,
not fact?
You are in denial, bro.
Did this not happen?
I'm here to help you. I want to help you.
I'm just saying. But no.
I
want to
help you.
Answer the question, though. Did this happen? Did Goku get his legs crushed by Vegeta 1-on-1, no other interference? Did that not happen? Yes, it did. Who helped him? Gohan and Krillin did. The second time they fought, he got hit in the back of the skull, got his ass knocked out. Goku didn't beat Vegeta then. So at no point in this series, Goku ever beat Vegeta.
Goku.
And on top of all that,
Goku will always be stronger.
I don't care what you or Assassin B say. Both of y'all are wrong. Goku will always be better than Vegeta.
But he has yet, he has yet to prove it in a fight one-on-one. He never did. Never did it. Vegeta's body count is larger. But Goku only killed maybe two people in his lifetime in Dragon Ball Z. That's Majin Buu, and I can't remember the other one. Yeah. Everybody else, they survived.
The most important people Goku took care of.
The most important people? Hell, he injured Frieza. That's all he did was injure Frieza. Vegeta's son was the one who killed Frieza off, finally. You know that. Are you tripping?
He let it go.
And on top of that, according to the creator himself, Vegeta, every time Vegeta reached the level that what Goku was at, Vegeta is stronger at that level because of his Saiyan blood. But so by principle, so for instance, so Goku reached the Saiyan form first.
That makes no sense.
He reached it first.
Goku has the Saiyan blood. He has the Saiyan blood.
No. Vegeta has royal Saiyan blood, so he's different. Right. So he has higher potential rating than Goku does. Goku was born as low class. So if anything he has to do, he has to train to get to that level. And he constantly trained. But Vegeta's kind of like Frieza in a way. Frieza didn't know he could reach another form, and he never trained a day in his life, but yet he was naturally strong. So Goku had to train his ass off to beat Frieza. But Frieza realized, like, damn, I only trained for 6 months. 6 months of training, that's it, to reach gold form. So imagine if Frieza was training that at the longevity that Vegeta and Goku was. Frieza will be a force to be reckoned with. Frieza still is, but that's literally dropping that nugget out there. But going to creator, according to Vegeta's royal Saiyan blood, by proxy, he's gonna be stronger when he reached that state. So when Goku reached Super Saiyan 1 first, he was the strongest. But when Vegeta reached Super Saiyan 1, he was stronger than Goku was when he was Super Saiyan 1, mainly because of his royal Saiyan blood. That's how it works. However, the smart thing that is being done in Dragon Ball Super is they putting them two apart, not by strength-wise, but by technique. So, yes, Goku is trying to perfect Ultra Instinct, which he has yet to do. And Vegeta is gradually getting better at being somewhat of the God of Destruction. And on Yardrak, where Goku only trained for like a very short period of time, Vegeta stayed there longer. And the Yardrakans, the one that taught Goku instant transmission, told Vegeta to his face, per the manga, is that you have succeeded in attaining these abilities faster than what the last Saiyan came here and did, which was Goku, because of his royal Saiyan blood. So Vegeta, technically speaking, is a better fighter, has better technique, and learn things a lot faster rate than Goku does. Now, but the thing I'm saying that is different in Dragon Ball Super is that they're not running neck for neck as far as the same abilities. Now, both of them have different abilities to bring to the table to the battlefields, which makes it more interesting at the end of the day. So there you have it. Now, let's not forget Broly, because Broly was dragging people. So I mean, let's not forget that.
Are you done with your soliloquy? Are we done?
I'm just saying, these are the facts. I am quoting the creator, the writer of Dragon Ball Z, the person who brought Dragon Ball to the forefront, that made it real for us.
Okay.
And he doesn't like Vegeta, but anyway, he really doesn't. That's why he writes Vegeta the way he does.
Okay.
Because he doesn't like the character.
Okay.
All right. There's that. And also for the listeners out there, just in here. Let's see here. I'm looking through. So there is a video game that's coming out on PC in 2023. And Meals38 said, you do know the creator want Goku to stay dead, right? He did say that. According to Meals38. But check it out.
Mios, Assassin, E, I don't give a damn.
I don't.
Goku is still better. Goku is still better.
And Gohan to continue.
He always will be better.
Bro, they hold Gohan out. You know this. They hold him out. You know full well what's supposed to happen after the Cell Saga. Matter of fact, I don't think it was supposed to be a Majin Buu, if I remember correctly. I think it was supposed to end right there. But it is what it is. It is what it is. But hey.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, but it didn't.
But it did. Because of popularity. But yeah, according to IGN, there is a game coming to PC in 2023, and that game is RoboCop Rogue City, a first-person shooter based on the original RoboCop series. You know what? Don't be a hater. I'm just saying. Don't be a hater. So, it has been announced and will come to consoles. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Consoles and PC in 2023, developed by Tinian, who made Terminator Resistance, published Nacon, and made the collaboration with MGM. The game will put you in the big silver boots of the film protagonist Alex Murphy and will tell a brand new story in the RoboCop universe. Faithful to this monumental science fiction, this first-person action-adventure game will ask you to save the city of Detroit from criminals and other crooked corporations, reads a press release. We have no other details right now, but we'll update you as we learn more. RoboCop is an action classic and one of the best ever 80s action movies, and a typically Paul Verhoeven mixture of ultraviolence and dystopian satire. There's currently a prequel series in development for TV based on the series depiction of Detroit and Omni Consumer Products, the company that goes on to create RoboCop himself. It's been a fruitful time for 80s action movie characters and games recently, from the appearance of John McClane in Rambo and Call of Duty, and the release of Predator Hunting Grounds last year. RoboCop isn't MGM's only big star to get a great game announcement either. The film studio has also given its blessing for Hitman creator IO Interactive to make a James Bond game as well. You're damn right. You talking about ease on this shit again? What you mean? What do you mean, Thanos Rick? What do you mean?
Sorry, I just got back from throwing up. Sorry.
Wow. Why are you such a RoboCop hater, man? I don't understand.
That movie's terrible.
That movie is not terrible.
That movie is so terrible.
All right. Most 80s action movies are. Anti-wise.
Not Terminator.
Terminator 2 was legit. Definitely legit. That is the best Terminator movie out there, the whole entire movie series. The absolute best. But that's just one example. What else you got? And the acting was actually really good in that movie.
80s action movies? Star Wars?
Nah, that's sci-fi.
Still action.
Nope, sci-fi. If you look in the category, it says sci-fi.
Whatever.
Enjoy not
exactly. See, that you, the that longevity, the what?
You mean that aren't cheesy? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, that aren't cheesy.
Oh, thank you, Mios. Total Recall was good.
Total Recall's good, yeah. Predator? But the fact that somebody else had to help you and you had to think about it, that says all I need. That's all I needed to say.
No. Predator was dope.
One, yeah. You're still taking too much of a gap because you Blood should be rattling these things off in succession, like boom, boom, Blood boom, sport. Boom, 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 boom.
Bloodsport.
Martial arts, yeah, I got you.
Okay, thank you.
That did have some cheese in it, though. I mean, be honest, 80s action movies has cheese. It have cheese in it. You know this. You know this. Ain't no denying this. Just to show it, RoboCop got the same amount of cheese.
The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon, I won't consider it an action movie.
It is an action movie.
Thank you, Mills. The 80s in general was cheesy.
Die Hard, Top Gun.
Man, I would put Top Gun in like the drama category type thing. There wasn't like big explosions and everything else in Top Gun. And why are you thinking about that?
Batman.
Why are you thinking about that?
Batman. His,
89. Mm, it's still 80s, I suppose.
It's still 80s. Jack Nicholson. Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop.
But they had. I don't think it was as cheesy, honestly. It wasn't a cheese fest because you got Jack Nicholson. He's a phenomenal actor. But hey, check this out.
Oh my God.
But check this out, though. Why are you still thinking about these 80s movies that are not cheese, but they are cheese? Y'all, I got to tell y'all this. For the wrestling fans out there, man, Aleister Black, now known as Tommy End of Malakai Black, is on AEW. Ladies and gentlemen, he is on AEW. He showed up last night. He kicked Arn Anderson in the face. And he kicked Cody Rhodes in the face, knocking both of their asses out. The crowd went crazy. They were in Miami, Florida.
Oh, my God.
Not Jacksonville. They were not in Daly's place. The crowd is back. The crowd is back in AEW. And Aleister Black, excuse me, no longer Aleister Black, Tommy End is on AEW. Thanos Rick, I'm going to tell you right now. WWE fucked up. They fucked up. You want to know how they fucked up?
Yeah, but we knew this, though. We knew it was going to come to this.
No. We knew it was going to come to this. Well, actually, we didn't, because Zelina Vega just showed up on WWE television last week.
Yeah,
she just showed up.
They resigned.
Yeah, his wife did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they resigned her, right? So at that point, that led to speculation, right? Here is where WWE fucked it up. So in NXT, per reliable source from pro wrestling, it was said that NXT has a 30-day non-compete clause for NXT talent. So when they picked up Tommy End to move over to the main roster, they didn't update the contract where the clause is for non-compete. So it didn't transition from 30 to 90. He still was at 30 days non-complete. Black never said anything about it, basically.
Okay.
So think about when Tommy End was released. It was more than 30 days ago. And guess what else? He shows up on AEW because legally he can do this shit. So WWE jacked up twice. That's what happened.
I mean, E, at this point, it's not surprising that those who leave WWE end up at AEW. That's surprising.
Well, here's the thing that gets me, right? Okay, you got Andrade that had a great debut because he took on Matt Sydal. Some of you guys may know him as Evan Bourne. That was his debut match, and he actually beat Matt Sydal. And it is surprising because there's other options out there. You got New Japan, you got NWA. You got AEW. You do have other options out there. So he could just as sure he could show up at any point in notice. But the fact that Aleister Black showed up.
Yeah,
you know
man,
what I'm saying?
It's AEW. And Chris Jericho probably called him. Or Cody probably called him. Like, hey, man, just come on through. You know what I'm saying? You know us. You know, just come on through, man. Come on through.
Yeah. And that's Neil 38 says, WWE better re-sign Braun Strowman before Mark Henry snatches him up. A lot of people don't realize that because of Mark Henry, that is why Braun Strowman was on WWE TV.
Yeah, because Mark Henry knows people. He has connections with the wrestlers. Like, he's a great guy. People love Mark Henry.
So, I think this was before Braun was even a wrestler. I think he saw him in, like, strongman competition, and that's when they got, like, pretty tight.
Yeah, man. Mark is well connected and he's a well liked guy. People love Mark Henry.
Who don't?
I mean, come on. So Cody snatching him up for AEW was genius.
Genius.
And
absolutely genius.
Vince was smart for getting back Samoa Joe and, you know, Vega, because I think she has tremendous potential in WWE. So that was smart. You know what I'm saying? We'll see how they work Samoa Joe, but you had to get Vega back. She's a great wrestler. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what Vince is doing. I have no idea what he's doing.
Well, beats me. Now, Mio 38 says he's trying to grab big cash. So now, are you saying Vince is trying to grab big cash or AEW is trying to grab him? Because now, okay, here's where you're at. You got AEW Dark, Elevation. You have AEW Dynamite. Now, you will have a show still on TNT coming, but AEW Dynamite is moving to TBS. And a lot of people was like, why move to TBS? And TNT is not the bigger company. TBS is the bigger company. That means more eyes are going to be on TBS. So, which means more viewership. So there's that. Mark Henry's trying to get big cash. So, like, you know what? I think that would be a good move. Honestly, the thing, if I'm Tony Khan, and I'm pretty sure he's looking into this and everything else. I mean, the man been working flawlessly to me and definitely getting better. He listens. He listens to the fans. He listens to, like, constructive criticism of the product. Now, to, as Chris Jericho said, the fat bastard that jumped the guardrail to attack MJF, you know, last night, yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb. You can tell Chris Jericho was pissed. You can tell. He was pissed because MJF and Chris Jericho had a face-off where they was talking to each other. MJF is the heel, right? Like, he's like the premier heel. And before before it even started, this dude just jumped over the rail and tried to run in the ring and everything else. Like, he was going crazy, right? So, of course, MJF was beating him. Chris Jericho's beating him, but Chris Jericho, being the professional that he is, he incorporated that in the promo as if this was part of the deal. This was part of the plan. Very genius on his part. But AEW Dynamite was a solid show last night. And Kenny Omega and Evil Uno, I mean, especially with the dialogue with each other, because, you know, Hangman Page is the number one contender for the AEW championship title. And it looks good. Now, next week, Fyter Fest is night one. John Moxley is coming back, and he's defending his IWGP US title against Carl Anderson, which a lot of people that don't watch New Japan Pro Wrestling don't realize Carl Anderson is a very accomplished singles competitor. Very accomplished. And Mio 38 says, I remember on an episode of Thunder, a fan ran into the ring on Scott Hall. He beat the shit out of that guy. That's what happens. That's what happened. What'd you think, Thanos Rick?
That just reminded me of that time. Remember that guy who tackled Bret Hart?
Yeah.
On stage? Yeah. That pissed me off. That royally pissed me off. So I know they whooped his ass. They whooped his ass on stage, took him back, and probably whooped his ass again.
Yeah, easily. Easily. It was FTR that beat his ass, basically. It was one of the members from that. Well, y'all, formerly the Revival. But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Aleister Black showing up, man. I mean, it was a good surprise. Their surprise appearances all the freaking time, man. I think the next guest appearance that they should have, they shouldn't have the lights black out and somebody show up, because it's almost like somebody else gonna show up. You know what I mean? Just have somebody show up out the crowd, man, and just let it rip, man. Just let it go. You know, you gotta build it. I also feel like with AEW that they do have a lot of gimmick matches, and I feel like they should, like, veer away from that to a certain degree and kind of save those for the pay-per-view. Because I already know, they're giving the fans what they want. And I got real Nitro vibes last night. Like, they did, like, a back shot of the pyro and how the screen looked and everything else, man. I caught some major Nitro vibes. And Nitro had a good set. They had a really good set.
Yeah, they did. That's true.
I probably say they had probably one of the best sets, you know, on a Monday night out of anybody. It was dark. That the announce booth was just like something. They had like I forgot what you call those things. Like the scaffold and stuff with the lights beaming in on them. But it wasn't like bright lights. It was like the colored lights and whatever. It was really, really cool to see. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. They spent thousands in fireworks every freaking week. They spent a shit ton of money on firecrackers. Well, shit ton of money.
I like, he already told you, you know, Vince has been pissing me off. So I want AEW to be successful. You know what I'm saying? And I want them to snatch up every wrestler that they can get from Vince. I really do. You know, if they can get Roman, get Roman. Get him.
Yeah, they definitely get Roman. It's some people that you know for a fact they're not going anywhere.
Hey, man. Hey. You got nothing to lose. Roman. Make the call.
True. Roman ain't going nowhere. I mean, Cena's not going anywhere. Like, I would be floored if Cena shows up on AEW. I'll be floored. I'll fall out. I was like, yo, well, did this really just happen? But I don't foresee that happening at all.
Cena is loyal to Vince. I mean, Vince gave him his start. You know, Vince
So did Roman.
I mean, The Rock, you know, all these guys who went off to be movie stars, you know, they owe that to Vince. So I don't see those guys jumping ship. You know what I'm saying? I don't. Randy Orton, none of them. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, actually, Randy was in talks with AEW. And Vince gave him like a substantial like paycheck. And I think Tony told Randy, like, you know what? You might want to take that paycheck. You know, on that aspect. I mean, what if The Rock shows up on AEW? I'm just throwing darts out there. Like, the crowd will go freaking nuts. Like, you're talking about ratings out the ass. Like, that'll just, it'll be crazy. It'll be crazy. It won't happen, but it'll be crazy. It won't happen. I'm just saying. But Rock can do whatever he wants. What are you going to tell him? No. He ain't contractually obligated to WWE. Do whatever piss he wants to. Now, Mia started to say he would lose his shit if Keith Lee showed up with his old theme music. Yo. And it, matter of fact, with Jungle Boy, when he bought the rights to the music, he told Jungle Boy, he said, you know what? I'm going to buy the rights to that music. And Jungle Boy was like, okay, cool. Next thing you know it, boom. He bought the music. So, what if Keith Lee shows up, man? No music, no lights going out and him showing up. Just have him show up in the ring and spirit bomb somebody.
Yeah.
That's it.
I want AEW to snatch up that talent because you guys may disagree, but AEW's current talent, I don't really care for them that much. I mean, they're all right, but yeah.
Wait a minute, say that one more time. Repeat that.
AEW's current talent. I don't care for much of them, or many of them.
Are you shitting me? Like who?
What's my man name with the shades? Hands in his pocket all the time.
Orange Cassidy?
Yeah, I don't really care for him. I don't really care for him.
But why?
I don't know. I mean,
Do you hear the crowd the minute he comes out? Do you hear them?
I hear him, but it's...
He blows the roof off.
Just me personally.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know. Yeah.
Who else?
Young Bucks, they're cool. They can stay. You know, like, it's...
I mean, they can stay. They're running the joint.
They definitely need to beef up that women division. And we've already talked about that extensively. That needs to get beat up. So, AEW, snatch him up. Chris, make the call.
Actually, the women's division has looked pretty good because
it could be better.
Because you're looking at just Dynamite, I'm assuming. Because, you know, there's Dynamite and there's AEW Dark. And then Elevation, which there's a lot of talent that's there that are, those are like unquote, Dark matches. And people are, and that's their training, that's the debut and stuff like that. So, working their way up to getting to AEW Dynamite. So they got a pretty nice little roster of women that's there. They're getting trained. Kenny Omega takes great pride in like the women's wrestling, the women's division and stuff like that. And especially tag team wrestling as well. I mean, if you notice that tag team matches sometimes are closing out the show, and that's really good. And honestly and truly, because I think someone said that Vince doesn't think that a tag team title match will close out a show, will ever close out a show. Like, they always set to be in a certain area. They're going to plateau a certain area, and they're not going to main event something. But AEW, but in the beginning of AEW, Don Bus did say, we're bringing tag team wrestling to the forefront. We're going to make it main event shows, and it does. It did last night.
Well, I mean, it's not like tag teams aren't great. I mean, I think Vince will admit that tag teams are great. I just think right. Vince doesn't really care for tag teams. You know what I'm saying? Vince is particular about what he wants. You know, the type of wrestler that he wants. I mean, Vince knows what he wants. And Vince was never a big tag team guy. I mean, I think everyone knows that. So I don't think Vince shits on tag teams. It's just, you know, that's how Vince feels. But, I mean, if the Young Bucks can bring the tag team to the forefront, hey, so be it. By all means, do so. I love tag teams. I mean, just going back to the Bulldogs and, you know, freaking Demolition, Legion of Doom, you know, like those guys. And then, you know, 2000s, you know, Edge and Christian, Matt, the Hardy Boys, Dudleys. I mean, tag teams have always been great. It's just that's not really Vince's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, more power to, you know, to Young Bucks and AEW, Cody. If you guys can do that, hey, by all means, do it. Do it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's like the cruiserweights, E. It's hard to top what the tag teams were, what the cruiserweights were back in the day. It's hard.
Right.
It's hard.
Oh, man. You gave me something, bro. You gave me something. What's I feel that? Like the AEW should have a cruiserweight title division or a light heavyweight. Matter of fact, call it a light heavyweight. The light heavyweight title to a certain degree. Man, you got... So not only will you have a light heavyweight title, you have the TNT title, you have the tag team titles, and you got the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. You got that. So, man. So I feel like... Because to this day, I think everybody can agree, nobody had the cruiserweight division like Nitro had the cruiserweight division. Like WCW had the cruiserweight division, nobody can touch it right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You had balls to the wall. Like, they were the glue to put Nitro together. If it wasn't for the cruiserweight division, I feel like you wouldn't even have a main event division, to be honest. Because La Parka, Psicosis, Juventud Guerrera, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Ultimo Dragon. You know? I forgot his name right now. His name escapes me at this moment. But that's just naming a few. You know, Prince Iaukea. The Cruiserweight division was fat.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. And honestly, I mean, my favorite tag team, though, is Pentagon and Rey Fénix. The Lucha Brothers, man. That's the Lucha Bros. That's Penta and Rey Fénix, man. I like the entrance, man. Like, I feel like they will be tag team champions later. Now, Hangman Adam Page going up against Kenny Omega, because I'm thinking that's what's going to happen. And I feel like at Fight for the Fallen, I don't think they should have a match quite yet. I think they should wait till All Out. Like, have Kenny hold the title a little bit longer, because I feel like if he goes against Hangman Page, he's going to drop the title to Hangman Page, because Hangman already been in the title pitch against Chris Jericho to be the first champion, and Chris Jericho won. And all that did was make Hangman more popular with the crowd. And every time he's out in the ring, like, the crowd goes crazy. They chant cowboy shit. They chant all this kind of stuff, and he shares a beer with the people and everything else. So, like, this is your new face of AEW staring you down. And I feel like it got to be a very big pay-per-view for this to pop off. There has to be.
So, do you think Hangman, as a champion, can carry AEW?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
No doubt about it. He got a personality. He got the ring ability. he has everything. Now, what makes it a good story, though, if you have Hangman fight Kenny, Kenny finds a way to win, the weasel way, that adds more heat to Kenny. Now, because people still chant for Kenny every now and again, even though he's playing a heel character. So by definition, he's not really a true heel. He's just a heel that people like. So if you do something heinous to Hangman Page, like you cheat to win, like you just completely screw this man over. You got heat on Kenny. You got more of a rub on Hangman, and you have them fight a repeat. Like they have to do a third match at a very big pay-per-view and have Hangman finally win. Then that is perfection. That's a nice bow on that present. That's a nice bow on it.
Let me ask you a question, E. How many pay-per-views does AEW currently have?
Maybe 4, 5? I think. Yeah, maybe 4 or 5. It's not that many. They don't have pay-per-views every month.
And what is their WrestleMania pay-per-view?
All Out probably will be.
That's their biggest pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think All Out will be their biggest. That's just my assumption, though, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
So they have these 4 or 5 pay-per-views throughout the year.
Yeah, you got Double or Nothing. You have All Out. Those are the two biggest ones that come to my mind. You have Fighter Fest. That was a pay-per-view, but they put it on TV. That's Fight for the Fallen. That also was a pay-per-view as well. I know they did like a Bash at the Beach type deal, but then they changed the name again. So, Full Gear. Full Gear is the other one. And that's all I can think about right now. Not to say they won't add any more pay-per-views, but yeah. They need to buy Starrcade. They need to buy that name. Man, they need to buy that. They got to buy that.
Who owns that, Vince?
Yeah, Vince owns that.
Vince probably
won't
sell it.
He owns that name.
Vince probably won't sell it to them.
That would piss me off too, because Starrcade is WCW's WrestleMania. Starrcade had people from out of country coming to wrestle. You know what I'm saying? You had classic matches at Starrcade. And when he bought WCW, there was no more Starrcade. But he brings Starrcade back around November to be this WWE Network type of thing. Like, bro, don't you shit on Starrcade like that, man. Don't disrespect Starrcade like that, because that's disrespectful to me and anybody that loves Starrcade like that. Like, it's for that very reason. If anything, I feel like Cody and Tony need to buy Starrcade from them. They need to buy it. Like, we give you this amount of dollars for this name here, because they're not using it.
I mean,
like, they just now started using Great American Bash like last year or a year before.
I mean, I hear you, but that's still Vince's. And we don't really know what plans Vince has for these pay-per-views.
Not a damn thing. Other than, now, if anything, he'll put Starrcade on NXT.
Well, I mean, once Vince steps down, then we'll have to see what Stephanie and Triple H do with it. Because they may have plans for those pay-per-views. They will not sell Starrcade to AEW. It won't happen.
I'll put it like this. Is that with Halloween Havoc and War Games and stuff like that, those names have a limitation on the legalities of it. So that's how AEW was able to use Bash at the Beach, because it passed that limitation. So I'm not sure that they're paying attention to any of that stuff. WWE is, because they have not used these names in quite some time, like Starrcade for sure. Halloween Havoc, yes. Great American Bash, yes. They have used those two names. But Starrcade, they haven't used it in a couple of years. So it could very well be one of them situations that they can say, like Aleister Black. WWE completely forgot the fact that he was on a, could completely forgot the fact that he had a 30-day non-compete clause instead of a 90-day non-compete clause. And boom, now he shows up on AEW. Kind of like how Luger did on Nitro the first night, because Luger was on WWE the night before. And he shows up on Nitro the next day. So it's kind of like that, in a way. but just after 30 days. So it's kind of like you missed that one, WWE. You missed that one. So it's quite a possibility that Starrcade could be one of those things that flying under the radar and nobody saying anything about it. And when the time comes, boom, I'm gonna buy Starrcade, put our name on it, and we're gonna have it.
I mean, we have to assume that they care enough to keep tabs on it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta assume that they do or they don't, you know, so I don't know.
We'll see, man.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll definitely see. But hey, man, yo, this is our show for the day on this Thursday, everybody. Yo, check out the Twitch stream channel tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be closing out because it took me about 2 hours, about maybe 3 hours or so. I was running through with Metal Gear. Oh my gosh, man. It's like a giant puzzle for NES. But still, yeah, pretty fun to play. Definitely going to knock that out tonight. Finish the finale tonight, no matter what. No matter what. And then also tonight is the Bucks and the Suns.
You watching?
Yeah, I'm planning on watching it after the stream. But go ahead and go to twitch.tv/OrangePhoenixTV. And I think no strict, man. You know, you say you're going to come visit on Twitch TV and I haven't seen you talk trash or anything like that. Anything like that.
Well, don't worry. I'm coming. Don't worry.
Cool.
I'm plotting. I'm plotting. But I see you.
You're plotting. OrangePhoenixTV on twitch.tv. And yes, www.patreon.com/OrangePhoenix for the magazine. If you have not read the July edition of Orange Phoenix magazine, you need to read it. Trust me, and it's really good. Mad Max with his manager article. We got my article. And then next month is chock full of information. Like August, Thanos Rick himself.
I will
be the guest writer for next month.
I will be writing a few pieces.
Yeah, a few pieces, yeah. You know, a few reviews, if you will, you know. And we also have another guest writer as well for next month. And what I'm telling you, we got a lot of information to cover and review for next month's edition of August of Orange Phoenix Magazine. Trust me and believe, this is something that you definitely don't want to miss. You definitely don't want to miss July edition as well. So www.patreon.com/OrangePhoenix. And on TeePublic, yes, I will be posting a link for TeePublic. Because there are some designs that you can put on coffee mugs and travel mugs for you coffee drinkers out there. Or you hot cocoa drinkers out there. Trust me. I will put that out in Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. Which you can find on Facebook. Type in Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. And I will be announcing the next movie date for movie night, if you will, for the Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. Because the next movie up is Blade 2. With Wesley Snipes, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Thanos Rick, so Blade 2 is coming. Now we'll be announcing that. All right? And also follow us on Instagram at Orange Phoenix Media. That is it, man. What, you got anything else for the listeners out there, Thanos Rick?
Hey, man. Anything RoboCop, stay away from it. It's all
about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Man, you're a hater, man.
I'm trying to save lives here. RoboCop is...
You know who else saves lives? RoboCop saves lives.
Terrible movie.
Dead or alive, you're coming
terrible,
with...
No. Terrible script.
It's not a terrible script. We out, people. We see you guys tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch, and tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to close out for the weekend. Peace.